Today, our sermon text comes from Luke chapter 18. Luke 18, verses 9 through 14. This is a story that Jesus tells that I think we can connect with in one way or another. Luke 18, verses 9 through 14. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself, "God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get." But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks for this word, for showing us the path of humility, and for pointing us to the need that we each have for God's mercy in our lives. Have mercy on us, and mold us after your image, that we might reflect you more and more each day, and live in the redeeming love that you shower upon us. Give us grace as we reflect on this passage together, we pray, in your holy and precious name. Amen. The thing I love about stories is that we can identify with characters in those stories. The stories that we tell are not just idle things that keep our minds occupied, but they are opportunities for us to connect and engage with the stories in personal ways. Take, for instance, one of the favorite stories of Nancy Farrison. Not to put you on the spot, Nancy, but you know what it is. The Wizard of Oz. Do you know the story of The Wizard of Oz? The Yellow Brick Road and Dorothy and Toto and all the others. And it's a story that is an American classic, and it's a wonderful story. And it's about 100 years old now, at least the movie version. It's coming up on that. And that's kind of exciting, right? That it's such an old story that we all know. Who do you identify with in that story? Maybe you identify with the cowardly lion, the one who is afraid of everything, but when push comes to shove, shows great courage by standing up for what is right. Maybe you identify with the Tin Man, who has a physical lack. He lacks something physically, but when push comes to shove, shows that he has a really big heart. Maybe you identify with the Scarecrow, who, I'm talking about the Scarecrow, not about you, might not be the sharpest tool in the shed, you know how we talk about things, right? He's got stuffing in his brain and all this stuff, but he is the truest friend to Dorothy and stays with her from beginning to end. Maybe you identify with Dorothy, the girl who, at the beginning of the movie, it's so easy to forget, she wants to run away from home because of, it happens in just the blink of an eye, there's a miscommunication and all this, and she wants everything to go away. But through the course of her journey, she learns that there really is no place like home. Stories give us the opportunity to engage with ourselves and our relationships and our world in ways that we don't normally get to do. So who are you in this story? the story that Jesus tells in Luke 18, the story of a Pharisee and a tax collector. There are fewer options this time. Maybe you identify with the tax collector. The tax collectors are not looked upon very kindly in their society. They're kind of outsiders. They're seen as traitors because they collaborate with the evil Roman Empire. I don't know that any of you are collaborating with anybody. But maybe you identify with the tax collector in the sense of feeling inadequate before God. God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Maybe you find it hard to look up to heaven. Maybe you have low self-esteem or low self-worth. Maybe you wonder if there is any way that God could have mercy on someone like you. If that's the case, listen to the message of the story. God has mercy on those who humble themselves before Him. God justifies. That's a fancy word. God brings justice to. God makes righteous those who humble themselves before Him. That's good news. Maybe you identify instead with the Pharisee. Ooh. The Pharisee, the religious person, the religious leader, the person who's sort of in charge of things, the one who looks down on other people. Uh-oh. Do church people ever compare themselves to other people? Surely that doesn't happen. Surely we don't compare ourselves to each other. I have my faults, but at least I don't do that. Look at all the good things I do. I fast twice a week. Fasting in the Jewish culture was a way of abstaining from food, not eating a certain thing or not eating anything for a certain period of time. And the law only required it to be done once a year on I think, the Day of Atonement. And the Pharisee is doubling down on that a lot. I fast twice a week. Look how religious I am. I give a tenth of all I get. I give my tithe regularly. Boy, I'm doing really good. Don't know about that person across the aisle. I'm committed to this church, but I don't know about that person across the aisle. Do we compare ourselves? No, I hope not. That's a good answer. A lot of adults do, though. It's the way our culture teaches us to operate. It's a way of living that is common to a lot of people in our society. It's a way of exalting ourselves, lifting ourselves up. We give trophies to all the participants. Everybody wins. We stand up for our rights because our rights are most important. We have and love the power of the Facebook post. You realize the power of this, right? Where you can say your thoughts on social media, online, on Facebook, on whatever medium you choose, and nobody can tell you that you're wrong. If they tell you you're wrong, you tell them they're wrong. We have learned to lift ourselves up and to exalt ourselves. Like the Pharisee in this story. It even can happen for folks who have low self-esteem and low self-value. If it turns into a thing where you are always talking about it and looking for people to say, well, no, you're not that bad. Look how terrible things are for me. Well, it's another sort of backhanded way of looking for yourself to be lifted up. We compare ourselves to others. We point out their faults and we ignore our own. The thing I mentioned at the beginning of the service, praying for me regarding the World Series. Those of you who know me know I am a Cleveland Indians fan, and there was much rejoicing in the land when they won the AL championship on Wednesday. And last night, the Chicago Cubs won the NL championship. So the Cubs and the Indians will be facing each other in the World Series, right? I could not help but talk about this today. If you knew me, you knew that was going to happen. The Cubs have a World Series victory drought of 108 years. They have not won since 1908. The Indians have not won the World Series since 1948, 68 years. Both of those are really long streaks. One of them will end in the next week to 10 days, and then the others will continue to think, well, things are just worse for us. I told Brendan, I think, before the service started that if the Cubs win the World Series, I'm going to be happy with that, because then at least the Indians will have the longest-lasting World Series drought that's still current. Then I'll be able to feel worse about myself and my team. We compare ourselves to others, and think it's very dramatic, Tara says, and she's right. It is very dramatic. It has been, yes, and it will be. Pray for Tara. This is... Okay. We do a lot of comparing of who has things worse. We do a lot of comparing about who has things better. How many mailings have you received in the past month, in the past week, from various politicians? I'm not going to name names. You know who they are. If you are like me, you look at them and just, you know, file 13 them right away because you have seen what they've said and they're saying the same things again. But what do we do during political seasons? But we send out ads pointing out how bad the other person is without saying anything about our own faults. It's something that is endemic and intrinsic to our culture. By the way, Election Day is coming. This is my other tangent for the day. On November 8th, vote. And remember, there are more things to vote for than just president and vice president. We also are voting for a representative to Congress. We're voting for, I think, a state representative and a state senator and trustees to state colleges, which I never really understand why we vote for those, and on a couple of bond issues. You can find all of that information at michigan.gov/vote. You can get a sample ballot and see who's going to be on the ballot that you will see on November 8th if you don't vote early. Do that. It's an important thing to do. But keep in mind, politicians and all the rest of us are really good at pointing out the flaws in everyone else and ignoring our own. That's what the Pharisee is doing in this story. And that's what I just did. Look at how bad the politicians are, and I haven't mentioned any of my own faults. Isn't it nice to be the Pharisee in the story? Thank you, God, that I'm not like so-and-so. It's so easy for us to do that. But the way of the world is not the way of Jesus. The way of Jesus, the way of the kingdom of God, is the way of humility. You can ask, who are you in this story? Another question you can ask is, who is Jesus in this story? Who does Jesus identify with in this parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector? Maybe he identifies with the Pharisee. After all, look at all the good things he's done. He fasted before he began his ministry. He prayed to God all the time. He healed people of their diseases. He talked about scripture with people in the synagogue. He glorified God in all the things that he did. Of course, he never did any of those arrogantly. Maybe Jesus identifies with the tax collector. Not in the sense of being a sinner and needing God to have mercy on him. That's not who Jesus was. Jesus lived a perfect life and never sinned. But Jesus humbled himself for the sake of God's kingdom. I think Jesus has more in common with the tax collector than he does with the Pharisee. And it's this humility of Jesus that is so important for us to remember and to try to emulate in our own lives. There's a beautiful passage of scripture from Philippians chapter 2 that I'd like to share. Philippians 2 verses 5 through 11. It's a letter that Paul the apostle is writing to Christians, to the church in Philippi. And he's talking about how we should live. And he says this, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The way of Jesus is the way of humbling himself. God takes care of the business of exalting himself through the person of Jesus. The way of the world is to exalt ourselves, lift ourselves up, go after our own attention. But the way of the kingdom is the way of the cross. The way of Jesus is the way of humbling ourselves before God. That's why the first song that we sang in worship this morning was, "Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord." That's why all through the service we've been thinking about God's mercy and how we need to humble ourselves at his feet and ask for his mercy. This should be how we live our lives from beginning to end. It should be the tone of how we conduct ourselves and how we view ourselves. Mercy should be the theme of our lives. Continually relying on God's mercy, on God's desire and ability to forgive us, to grant us new life, to lead us forward for his sake. In another very important passage, the Apostle Paul writes in Romans 12, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." The path of humility is not about thinking badly about yourself. It's not about forcing yourself to have low self-esteem or self-worth. Humility, real humility, is about learning to see ourselves correctly, to see ourselves from God's perspective, to learn our place in the kingdom of God. The church has far too many Pharisees and not nearly enough tax collectors. Too many of us are insiders. Not enough of us are outsiders. Too many of us pat ourselves on the back for the good things that we do, or beat ourselves up for not having done good enough. Too many of us compare ourselves to others. Too many of us say, "God, I thank you that I am not like other people." It's an amazingly terrible prayer. "God, I thank you" is a good way to begin. It's a good start. "God, I thank you. There are so many things for which we can give thanks to God, but most of those things, probably all of those things, should be things that God has done, not things that we have done. I thank you that I'm so good. I thank you that I've fasted twice a week, or have tithed, or am better than this other person." Those are all about thanking you for what you have done. "God, I thank you for who you are. I thank you for what you have done." It's so tempting for us to live by the way of the world, to lift ourselves up, to try to be in control, to try to be better or more important than other people. We need more tax collectors. Jesus is more interested for people to imitate him in their humility, rather than for people to live arrogantly or selfishly or in a way that exalts themselves. Following Jesus involves honest self-evaluation, humility before God, and humility before others. I try to give you a piece of homework each week, something that I call an action step. I still have not come up with a better term than that. Something that you can try or do or remember sometime through the week to come as we've reflected on this passage together. And the action step I'd like for you to take this week is just to make a mental note of this story. The story of the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, and, and remember this story and bring it to mind the next time that you are tempted to say, I thank God that I am not like so-and-so, or look at all the good things that I do. When you find yourself thinking in that way, all of us do it, some of us more than others, but all of us do it. When you find yourself thinking that way, stop what you're doing. Find a good place to pray. Remember this story. Ask God for his mercy. Confess your sins to the Lord. Confess your sins to someone that you trust. And then in humility, enter back into your world and see how your perspective changes. Perhaps we can, by the power of God's Spirit, live differently than the way of the world. Would you join me in prayer? Lord God, we give you thanks because you are good and your love endures forever. We give you thanks for entering into our world in the person of Jesus Christ. We give you thanks for the sinless life that he led and for the wonderful teachings he gave us and for how he sacrificed himself that we might be set free from sin. We give you thanks for being constantly with us, for hearing us when we pray. We give you thanks because you are good and your love endures forever. Help us, Lord, to live into your mercy and to live out of your mercy so that others might see you at work in our lives. Bring this story back to our minds again in the week to come and help us always to humble ourselves before you. We give you thanks for this word and how it enriches our lives. Use it as you see fit. In the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord, we pray. And all of God's people say, Amen.